Let's kneel for prayer.
Our Father in heaven, I'm asking that you would help us, that by your Holy Spirit you would teach us what is best, that you would save us from self-confidence and fill us with dependence on you. We ask for your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday, as the canvassers and I were driving to our territory, the conversation in the vehicle was good, but then they sang, and they were singing some good songs, really nice songs. And then they got out to work, and as we pulled up to drop off the first two boys, there was a truck there, I think it was a blue truck, and the man was just pulling out of his driveway to get his mail. He had one of those long driveways where you drive to get the mail. You know those kind? And so he was getting his mail, and the two boys jumped out of the car and went and got him before he got back in his truck. And I didn't wait around to see because I didn't want to make him nervous. I drove away. And that man gave $50 for Steps to Christ. Isn't that a blessing? And then the day just went like that continuously, so that when we picked up 2 hours later, we had distributed 9 great controversies with only 6 campers in the group. Just amazing. It was our highest average in the history of YD as far as how people were responding to our work. I'm just happy about that. Then I got news from the mission field from Bangladesh, from one of our mission stations there, that they're having a wonderful time sharing in the villages, which means the villages are opening themselves up. They're saying, teach us, we want to learn. And you know, there's a lot of people like that in the world that all their life have been wondering, where's the truth? How can I find it? And they're just waiting for you to show up to help them have it. Just waiting. It's not like that in every place, because some places have been exposed to the truth 50 times. I mean, it's really like that in this United States and in some other places. But many places have never had a chance. This pine cone is for you boys in the front row, but, you know, anyone else can be listening. I really enjoy pine cones, but when I hold them, I want to hold them the right way, because those little spines can really hurt. The ones on the end there, they're really pokey things. The purpose of those spines is the same as the purpose of homeschooling. Do you know that? That is, when this was a young pine cone, it was all closed up, and it was green colored when it was just new, and inside it were baby seeds. And if a squirrel or a crossbill bird, do you know what crossbills are? Some of you? Like, they look like they were made wrong, you know, like their bills cross each other like that. But that's no mistake, because they can take their bills and open them up and put them in a pine cone and then close them and open the pine cone that way. You understand? Like, there's no mistake in a crossbill's bill. God doesn't make mistakes, to be honest with you. And these spines were made to slow the birds down. They're made to slow down the squirrels. Slow them down for what? For the seeds to develop. It's not that the pine cone never wants its seeds to be eaten. The pine cone is just waiting for the day that its seeds will be eaten. It is making seeds for the purpose of feeding squirrels and birds. That's the purpose of the seeds, because that's how those seeds end up being dispersed and becoming baby trees. That's how it happens. But what happens if the seed is eaten early? Yeah, it'll never sprout. Right? It's not developed yet. So these spines are designed to make sure that that seed does not develop early. I'm just trying to illustrate something for you about your homeschooling. While you're in homeschool, while you have some policies and some rules, maybe even tighter than your neighbor children have. I know when I was little, I had all kinds of rules. My neighbors didn't have those kind of rules. At all, you know. If I could go to my neighbor's house, I could watch television. I couldn't watch it in my own house. Like we had policies, like, in our house. Those policies are designed to protect you while you're developing. But listen carefully. What would happen if a seed in here that was being protected decided that since it was being protected, it didn't really need to develop? if it just stays small. You know, there's going to come a time when the pine cone's going to open for business. Isn't there? A time when it's going to say, here birds, here squirrels, come on in. And if that seed's not developed at that time, it's never going to be developed. What I'm saying to you, young campers, is be sure that while you're developing at home, that you develop fast and effectively. Do your Bible study, do your science study, do your English study, master your chores, learn your skills, make sure you're developing quickly. Don't just be lazy about it, because you're not going to be in that situation forever. Isn't that right? You want to be developed, because when you get out of that little home environment, you want to be ready for your mission. And that's the lesson for you before we get into the Bible lessons. I gave you the world's best homework yesterday, but it was also a bit big and hard. Did anyone find, do we have a mic ready for roving? Did anyone find something about how to be consistent, how not to have those ups and downs? Mr. Everett will be our first person right over here.
Can I share two?
You can if you can share them quickly.
Okay. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but a wicked shall fall into mischief. So in this verse it's saying he always gets up again after he falls. Luke 8:13 is in the parable of the sower. And those on the rock are they which hear, receive the word with joy, but do not have root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
So we're talking about how you can have consistency in your spiritual life. And Mr. Everett read us two passages. One of them, the last one, says that you need to put down some of your own roots. If you dig down, you're doing your Bible memory, your earnest prayer habits, you're doing your disciplines in your spiritual life, you're not even too young to do some fasting. You could do that. If you're putting down your roots, you're going to have more stability when you come to those difficult times. And then, what was the first passage you read? I remember. And then, I described an up and down where you're up for a while and you're down for a while. But Mr. Everett read for us in Proverbs that when you fall, make sure it's short. Then that's quite consistent if your falls are short, aren't they? Then you're going to be pretty much up there. What do you do when you fall? That sounds like 1 John 2, doesn't it? These things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. So yeah, quickly repenting when you do wrong is a key to consistency. Someone else found something in your study yesterday. Back here, Mr. Morgan. Oh, wait, it's Micaiah. Sorry.
Isaiah 40:30-31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
So it says that it's not just humans that have up and down experiences. Eagles and lions get tired too. Right? Have you ever seen pictures of lions under a tree in the middle of the day, just sleeping there? But it says that doesn't have to be the way it is for you if you're waiting on the Lord. You're depending on Him. You're leaning on Him. Very good. Young ladies, I know that you study too. Who found something about how to be consistent in your spiritual life? We have Miss Hatala right in that. Yeah, that one.
In Romans 7:15, it says, "For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that do I not; but what I hate, that do I." And the solution Paul gives is in chapter 8, where it talks about being spiritually minded. And chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit."
So you have a situation in Romans 7 and 8 where you want to do the right thing, but you fail. That sounds like the questioner, right? You want to do the right thing, but you fail. But then at the very end of that chapter, Paul says, "Who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he gives the answer. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so in chapter 8, what we heard is that if you're spiritually minded, then you are going to have victory over those fleshly desires. Yeah, you're going to walk in peace. Thank you, Ms. Hatala. I'm going to show you what I found, but does anyone else have something you want to share before I tell you what my answer to that question? I know why you're not all just raising your hand quickly. It's because it's a hard question. It's because it's a big one, and it's the same one you're asking. And how do you answer a question that's the same question you're trying to answer? So let's review the question and then look at the answer. You can turn in your Bible to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. The question is, how do you have consistency? Where you're not just having highs and lows and close to God and far from God and making the same mistakes over and over and over and over. How do you avoid that? How can you be consistent? Matthew 26 and verse 41. Yesterday I asked you if you had in your mind ideas of people that had those up and down experiences. And one of you mentioned Peter. Do you remember that? Well, this is about Peter. Matthew 26 and verse 41. But we'll start in verse 40. Then he comes to his disciples and finds them asleep and says unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here, the end of the verse describes the problem. What's the problem? You're willing to be consistent, but you are... That's the problem. Isn't that the correct problem? That's the real problem. We're willing, we want to, but we're not doing it because we're weak. So what's the solution in the first half of the verse? Yeah, it's a habit of praying through the day when you're coming up to a tempting situation. God will help you develop those habits. I have a few of those habits. Maybe I'll tell you about one of them. When I go to my email account, to Gmail, before I open it up, I dart a prayer heavenward. I pray. Because I know that that's a place where I could receive emails that they could be called assaults. That's what I'd call them. An assault. And so I want to be helped because I am... Is it okay to admit you're weak when you pray? I don't think anything else is okay. We are certainly weak, and we want help. So watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because, granted, your spirit is willing. Is that enough to give you consistency, your willing spirit? Did that give Peter some consistency, his willing spirit? What you really need is help, right? Good. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 13. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Again, we could start in verse 12. It would help. Take heed. That means pay attention. Pay attention, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you see in that verse 12 that unbelief can come after belief? Do you see there that you could be believing today and unbelieving tomorrow? And the answer in verse 12 is, pay attention, that doesn't happen. Watch out. But you might say, "How? Watch out for what? What am I going to look out for if I don't want that to happen?" Well, that's verse 13. That's where we're going. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 13 says that I should encourage some of you today. I should say, hang in there. Pray. God will help you. Your Bible verses are going to make a difference in your life. I should say things. You know, we're near the end of time. This is not a time to be goofing off. This is a time to be faithful. Let's be faithful together. I want to encourage you. And also, what I'd like you to do is encourage me. Is that what... Do you see in verse 13? Who encourages who in verse 13? Who encourages who? We encourage each other. Do you see that? It's not the pastor encourages the people. It's that the people encourage the people. I encourage you, you encourage me. You encourage each other, and you encourage each other. God intended that we wouldn't be so lonely in our spiritual battles. I don't have to be weak and struggling all by myself. God rather intended that you would encourage me. And he intended that I would encourage you. Do you think this would work if we tried it? I think if we don't do it, we might be vulnerable to the deceitfulness of sin. Do you see that in verse 13? Like, do you think we're immune, or do you think we might be vulnerable? Yeah, maybe we need each other. Like that. Look at Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, verse 6. I hope this verse says what I think it does, because it's the only verse in my notes I didn't look up this morning. Phew, it's the right one. Isaiah 33, verse 6. It says, and wisdom and knowledge will be the what? Is that what our question was about?
Yes, sir.
So this says, knowing your Bible is part of being stable. It's not all of it. We need each other to encourage each other. That's part of it, but it's part of it. Knowing your Bible is part of stability, because the Bible exposes Satan's tricks. And does Satan do tricky things? Man, Satan really does tricky things. I don't know if you know it, ladies, and men, gentlemen, it's true for you also. I'm speaking to the ladies. The devil watches you, and he makes a strategy, and sometimes his strategy takes 3 or 4 years. Like, he makes long-range plans. He says, that girl has this weakness, and I'm going to give her this encouragement to make the weakness worse, and we'll give her this experience to make the weakness worse. And he cultivates that weakness until it's so big that then he can test you and you have a big fall. He has long-term plans. And we just aren't smart enough to escape him. But the Bible is. So wisdom and knowledge are the stability of thy times, the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, that passage says. Now, do you remember what the reference was that we looked at first in Matthew? Does anyone remember? It's been a while. It's been like 8 minutes. 26 what verse?
40.
Now, here's a little trick for you. I mean, this might not work for anyone except me, but I liked it this morning, so I'm just going to give it to you. 26:41. The problem with Peter was Peter. Let's just take the one off there, and then we're left to 26:4. I'd like you to look at Isaiah 26:4. Isaiah 26, verse 4, it's the verse that made me most happy this morning. I spent some time this morning with a blanket over my head so I could have some sort of privacy in the planet, and just rejoicing in this verse, just thinking about it. Matthew 26 and verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah. What is in the Lord Jehovah? That is very nice. Because what do we have? Weakness, right? We have weakness. And what we're looking for is consistency. And do you see consistency in this verse? What's the consistency in verse 4? God has consistent strength. He is just strong, 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 strong. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So where I was going with this in my mind this morning is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That verse, as I'm thinking about it this morning, isn't synonymous with rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. The verse isn't just saying, always be glad, again, always be glad. The phrase in the Lord there is a big part of that verse. And what it says is, because the Lord is always strong, I can rejoice. Because the Lord is always helpful, I can rejoice. I can rejoice all the time, like all the time I mean routinely, regularly, through the day, over and over. I can rejoice because God is so helpful to me. He's so there for me. He's such... If you were a devil and you knew this verse was in the Bible, you would be working to make young disciples so busy, so distracted, so depressed, or having so much fun, whatever the case may be, that they just wouldn't think about the Lord. You'd be working to just distract them all the time. And I don't know what you can do, but I think you could do something. Like if I was a camper, I might like try drawing a thread around each of my fingers. I don't know what I would do. Maybe, I just don't know. But maybe I'd put 80 rocks in my pocket, and every time I pray, I'd take one and put it out and make sure my pocket gets emptied every day. I don't know what I would do, but I would try to do something to help myself develop a habit of thinking about the Lord, about the beauty of the Lord, about the fact that he has what kind of strength? That's what I need. Isn't that what you need? We need everlasting strength. We need help all the time. And if we get that, I'm thinking of a statement by Ellen White, but it's not in my head word for word, but the idea is there. And that is that one subject will swallow up every other. It's talking about the Lord as our righteousness. That's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the Lord as our righteousness, how we need him consistently all the time. I know I've said the same thing 8 times. I hope you don't mind it. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Some people say Psalm 46, and some say Psalms 46. And I don't really care which one you do, but can you tell it really doesn't matter? Can you tell it really doesn't matter? We argue about the most small things sometimes, don't we? Can't we just like make a big argument about a nothing? It just doesn't matter. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You just have to love that verse. When you're in trouble, is God present with you? How does that become very? That sounds almost like an embrace to me. Like very present. Right there. Just close. And when is he very close to you? In verse 1? It's the same time when you think he isn't. Right? The same time when you think he's not there. It's in a time of trouble. But he's a very present help in trouble. Yeah, very good. I didn't give you much time to tell me what you found, but did anyone else find something you didn't get to share when you were looking? All right. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 45. I think about half of you were here last week. Can I see the hands of those who were here last week? Yeah, so I'm speaking to that half especially, because last week we looked at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, and we looked, I think, at verse 22. But when I get there, I'll know if that was the right verse. No, we looked last week at 23. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and will not return, that unto me every knee should bow, every tongue shall swear. Our theme song this week is about this verse. We confess with the who? Angels. With the angels that Jesus is Lord, right? He's our Lord in righteousness. That's referring to Philippians 2, but Philippians 2 is quoting this. What I want you to see is before you have this promise of God that everyone is going to admit that he's right, look back at verse 22. Look unto me and be ye, what's the word? All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other God besides me. I'm paraphrasing that word else. I am God, and there isn't any other one. So the whole world, look to me and be saved. Now look at the verse after the one we just read, verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Isn't that what we're talking about this morning? Am I weak? So weak. Do I have a perfect past? It shouldn't take you long to answer that question. Like, what I need is strength and righteousness. I need forgiveness and power. Isn't that what I need? And this verse says, where does someone is talking about that, about their strength and forgiveness. And what do they say about it? They say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. The very things we need, we have them. When Ellen White says that this idea will swallow up every other, when I think about that, it seems to me that the church must come to a point when it really feels its weakness. And I think while you're at camp is a great time to feel it. Can you feel your weakness? I don't think you need to wait until the pine cone opens to feel your weakness. I suppose right now that you've tried to be good enough that you can relate to what the pastor's saying in the evening time about trying and failing. I think you already have had some experience with that. And so you can say, I'm weak. But that's okay, because in the Lord Jehovah I have what two things? And what about in this verse we just looked at? What two things? Righteousness. I have forgiveness, and I have strength to live a holy life. The very two things that I need. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 1. This is practicing your Bible skills, right? Going place to place. But can you sense that the verses we're looking at relate to each other? Like, one of them helps us understand the other one. That's the way this book is made. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Knowing Jesus. Do you know your counselors, you campers? Do you know them?
Yes, sir.
I think you know your counselors a bit. I think you know your counselors about 4 days worth. Or five, I guess you've had them since, yeah, Sunday. 4 or 5 days worth. You know your counselors a bit. But I think if they were your counselors for like 5 months, you would know them better. You think so?
Yes, sir.
Now here's a tricky question. Do you know Eric B. Hare?
Yes, sir.
But none of you have met him. You know about him mostly from hearing his voice. Isn't that how you know about him?
Yes, sir.
You've heard him tell stories. And did you like his stories?
Yes, sir.
If he was alive, he'd be glad to hear that. I also have listened to the stories, and I like the stories. But I've been living a while, and I think that if Eric B. Hare was right here, and he and I lived together for a couple years, I'd get to know a lot more about him than I'd ever get to know by listening to his stories. Don't you think? I'm trying to say something to you about the Lord Jesus. Do you understand the illustration? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Oh, a bit. You've read the stories, and you've talked to him some, and you've read Desire of Ages. Some of you have read Desire of Ages, and you learn a bit. You know him a bit. But could you know him better?
Yes.
That's what I think we're talking about here. We're talking about that, that grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we don't know him at all, but we could know him better. And that multiplied, that sounds like a curve that looks like this. That's an exponential curve. It has to do with multiplication. If it was addition, the curve would look like a straight line, kind of like this one. And it says that as we get to know him, grace and peace are multiplied to us. It sounds like that as you hang on to this business of getting to know the Lord Jesus really for yourself, there comes a point when your learning really accelerates. And you know that curve? Does this curve ever, like, level out again?
No.
It just keeps going this way, doesn't it? Steeper and steeper until it almost seems straight. I think some of you that like math understand what I'm talking about. That's multiplied. That we can get to know Jesus, and then we get more grace and more peace. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given us everything that pertains to what two things? You know, that's the same thing you read about in Isaiah. It's the same things. What are the two things God's after with me? He would like to clear up my past. He'd like to give me forgiveness. That's everything I need. He gives me everything I need for that. But he'd also like to give me some consistency. Do you see that in the verse? He'd like to give me some holiness. He'd like to. And so how do I get that? It says in the end of verse 3, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and... Yeah, glory and virtue, glory... Different versions might say it a little differently. I'm going to give you homework today. I'll try to give you easier homework. Will that make you happier? Well, then you should have raised your hand today. But anyway, I'm going to give you a homework. Let me find the homework because I wrote it down here and I just want to see what it is. What is it? I want you to be looking for verses that have the phrase in the Lord. In the Lord. And see what you can find. What do those verses teach us that talk about in the Lord or in Jesus or in Jesus Christ? Phrase, I'll give you a hint, you'll find more of them in the New Testament. But there are some in the Old. Now, you don't have phones because you're at camp, and that's so good for you. I'm trying to think. Your concordance doesn't really help you find those very well. How can you find those verses? I have an idea for you you could try. You could go to verses in your head that have that phrase, like Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and look at the cross references there. And then if you find one or two, the cross references of those, cross references might help you find these phrases even better than a concordance would. And you might have other passages in your head that you can use. Anyway, if you don't know how to get started, you could just start reading Paul's books, because I think Paul uses these kind of phrases quite a bit. So what's the homework? It's in the Lord, or in Jesus Christ, looking for those phrases and see what do they teach us about our Christian experience. Turn your Bibles to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, and looking at verse 23. Can you find the book of Joel? After you find it, help the person next to you find it, because some people are going to have a hard time. Joel 2, and we're looking at verse 23. Why is it hard to find Joel? It's because it's small. Hosea, Joel. Ezekiel, Daniel. What's after Daniel? Hosea, Joel. So if you learn those four in a row, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, that's about 60 pages. You could probably find one of those and then find what you're looking for. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Do mountains have children? Then what does that mean, children of Zion? What does that mean? Yeah, it is. It's the believers. It's the true believers. It represents the Jews, but it represents us. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. I want to preach on that during my last 4.5 minutes, but first I want to let you have one of the minutes. Can anyone tell me something that you prayed for and you received it? Has that ever happened? You prayed for something and God gave it to you? What's something, Mr. Jonathan, you prayed for?
My brother's in law.
You prayed for your brother to get well, and he did get well. Good. What's something you prayed for and God gave it to you? What's something? You prayed to be able to play that piano with all those 100 keys, and somehow God gave it to you. Very nice. What did you pray for, Mr. Carper?
We were in Cuba doing an evangelistic series. The power went out. And so I was praying, Lord, please bring the power back. We need it. And in that instance, the power came back on.
You prayed and boom, you had it. Good. Mr. Everett, what did you pray for and God gave it to you?
Overcoming a temptation.
So there was some sin in Mr. Everett's heart. He was struggling with it. And he decided to ask God for help. And he had help. Good. Yeah, we can get a couple men, but then we're going to come back to the ladies' side. But go ahead, this in the blue shirt, it's coming to you, the microphone.
I was walking in the snow, and I lost my glove, and I prayed, and it was about dusk, and so I couldn't see, could barely see, so it looked like a stick or something, and I opened my eyes, and it was right next to my knee.
You prayed that God would help you find the camouflaged glove, and you had it. There was a hand back here I saw.
I pray that the Lord would humble me, and he definitely did.
So the Bible says, humble yourself, but our brother prayed that God would help him with that, and it worked out. Some ladies here. We have one right here close, Miss Lily, and then we'll go back.
I prayed that one of my dear friends who didn't know Jesus would come to know Jesus, and he did.
He
was baptized a month ago.
Beautiful. Miss Wilkie, and then I'm going to tell you about a few myself. Actually, you can get these two ladies you're walking by right here in the front first. Go ahead.
My grandmother's hip was hurting in the car, and we were going to church, and we all of us prayed that it would stop hurting, and then after we prayed, it stopped hurting.
Beautiful. And then Miss Everett, go ahead.
One time I lost my Bible and I was going to have devotions, but I couldn't find it, and so I prayed, and immediately I thought of a place to look for it, and I looked there, and it was there.
God helped you find the Word of God, and then Miss Wilkie, and then it's my turn. Is it okay if the teacher gets a turn sometimes? Thank you.
A few years ago, my sister and I went out wading in a river near my house, and it was really shallow. But then there was a part of the river that my sister waded into, and then it turns out it was really deep, and she went in over her head. And then I went out after her, because I was taller, and I thought I could touch the bottom, and then I couldn't. So then we were both in over our heads, and neither of us could swim at the time. And so I prayed for the ability to swim so that I could rescue her. And that's how I learned to swim.
God taught you how to swim in an emergency, and you and your sister are with us today. Do you know, when Ellen White was young, she became a believer. In fact, we read it on the screen. Was it last night or the night before? It was last night. And then she had 5 or 6 friends that were not spiritual, and she began to pray for them. She prayed earnestly for them. She even told them, I'm praying for you. She did it over and over and over, and all but one of them gave their life to Jesus. In Joel 2:23, we should be praying for God to pour out his Holy Spirit. But here's the amazing thing I want you to know about. When you pray for God to pour out his Holy Spirit, even if it doesn't come in large measure right now, it's going to be answered. God is just letting those prayers pile up. He's letting them pile. Not one of those prayers is lost. When you pray for that, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it's going to be in response to all the prayers that have been given for that outpouring to happen. So you never waste a moment when you're praying for God to pour out his Spirit. Well, that's enough for one day, young disciples. Let's kneel for prayer, and we'll be done. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you have everlasting strength, that you're a present help in trouble, that you give us everything we need for life and godliness. Would you finish the work you've started in us? Let us see our weakness and see your strength. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to encourage each other. You are dismissed.